And we are live. Well, not really. This is an exclusive Patreon program. Those of you listening out there to the podcast version of this program, keep in mind this will be cut off at some point. You might have to sign up, give or take. And to listen to this episode in its entirety, please go to patreon.com/Michael Deacon. Now let's get back to business here, and welcome back, everyone. Thanks for stopping on in. We've got yet another hard-hitting, heart-pounding episode coming through your speakers like a poltergeist. My name is Michael Deacon, and of course, it's a pleasure to meet all of you yet again. And here we are, like a big, happy, dysfunctional family. And Mike, of course, is here. He has drawn assignment. Mike is a author and former musician, now retired, right, Mike?
Yes, many years now.
Many moons. And he's been around the world and has entertained countless audiences. Welcome back, Mike. Thanks for stopping on in.
Well, thanks. I was just passing by. I thought I'd step on the air with you, you know.
Yeah, you were just going on a jog and you found the program.
Yeah, I was going out doing my nightly stalking.
Yeah, Richard Ramirez style. You saw me through. Yeah, you saw me through the window.
I did. I said, hey, what are you doing in there? You pooping?
Yeah, you were looking through the window. You Harvey Weinstein me.
Hey, what are you doing? You want to do a show?
That's right. So, Mike, a lot has been going on, and this is the first time we've done a show together in a while here, and that's a direct result of our friends over on YouTube.
Yes. Curse them.
Yes. We were hit yet again, folks, by the same people, and Marshall Masters yet again went on venting frustration, Mike, essentially going thermonuclear.
Apparently, yeah.
Dropping F-bombs and C-bombs and every other bomb you can imagine.
Who, you or him?
Him.
No way. He was really? Saying, I didn't expect that from him.
He was saying faggot. He was saying
COVID. Get the
COVID.
Hell out of here.
I'm telling you, he went crazy.
You're kidding. You know, I had every intention to ask you, how did the show go? Because I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Yeah.
And then you tell me, before I even got a chance to ask you, you're like, yeah, we got knocked off. You know, we're in suspension. And I'm like, for what?
Yeah.
And then Michael tells me Masters talked about COVID and his opinion. And that bumped that put the Deacon program in
timeout.
In timeout. So, geez, man, what the hell?
Yeah, it's dropping F-bombs, C-bombs.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And everything, Mike. The man went wild. And what's funny is we had talked beforehand, Mike, and I tried to reason with him. I told him, he would talk about. I said you could talk about whatever you'd wanted, but when it came down to COVID and the vaccine, I said, listen, just use a few code words, you know, and we could dance around this issue. Well.
Oh, screw that!
I don't think he could help himself in that moment of frustration, Mike.
Really?
I wish he didn't have to do that. I wish.
And you know, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do people have to be like? Why do they have to tiptoe and walk on eggshells when it comes to this goddamn virus thing? People are allowed to have their opinion.
I agree 100%. I don't think he could have helped himself in that moment of heat there, Mike. I wish. You know, he didn't have to do that, and I wish YouTube didn't have to do that and take such offense, but, you know, they take their marching orders from corporations and the WHO, you know, the World Health Organization and other interest groups, think tanks, focus groups, and, you know, they essentially ruined everything, Mike.
Jeez, what a pity.
Yes, these focus groups, Mike, the same people that basically give the green flag and run any program they want, really, on that magical screen in your living room.
It is not cruel. Not cruel. It is not cool what's happening. I don't like any of this. I think it's wrong.
I think it's wrong as well. I understand Marshall, and I don't hold it against him, by the way. He's just passionate about his views. And
I was going to say the
same
thing.
He's mad as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him.
He has every right to voice his opinion, no matter what it may be. I mean, that's what we're all about here, freedom of speech. You know, you speak your mind. This is America, but to have it literally shut down on you is just makes no sense, man.
Yeah, I totally understand. He means well. He means well. And this world is quickly changing each and every day, Mike, for better or for worse. America is going through some serious changes. I would say America is entering stage three. Mike, I'm referring to the same stage Freddie Mercury did when he was slowly dying of AIDS.
That's horrible.
That was good. That was a smooth reporter-like take, though, right? That was good.
Good segue.
That was pretty good. I would say that was very like a hard addition, right?
Yeah, that was hardcore, man.
ABC News style. I understand
what you're saying. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I probably wouldn't have put it that way, but yeah, I get it.
History is repeating itself, Mike, and I've been repeating that line all week. We are seeing yet another conflict from very familiar enemy in Jordan, by the way, Mike.
What is going on in Jordan?
Well, three U.S. troops are killed, by the way, just recently, and 25 injured. A drone strike just today, I believe, or yesterday, rather.
No shit. I didn't read about this. I didn't know.
By Iran-backed militia in Jordan.
Yeah, of course. You know the funny thing, Michael, about that's going on with all this association with Iran, what would you call it, letting their useful idiots do their work, their dirty work for them. It's just that. It's almost as if we're waiting for them to make the actual move themselves. And if I'm correct, so far all the moves have been by other countries and their little web of would that even be the right word? Their connections to all these other terrorist groups, because that's what's happened. You know, everybody's else fighting and shooting at Americans and Israel, and it's Iran that's backing them.
Correct. History is repeating itself, Mike, and Jordan is a familiar foe, and we've been doing business with them for quite a long time. We've been doing a lot of shady business with a lot of these people, and of course, Iran. We've made some shady deals with them a number of years ago as well, and it's all sort of caught up with us in real time.
Yeah, well, you've basically got President Corpse making not deals, but supporting both Israel and Iran.
Right.
He's basically giving money to Iran and giving money and weapons to Israel. So they're backing both sides, just like they did in ISIS, with ISIS.
That's right. It isn't crazy. I was going to say, isn't that wild that our government does that? We'd love to play both sides, by the way, here in America.
I don't understand it. I really don't.
It gets crazier, though, because, you know, they say Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11, but that's not exactly entirely true. He was one of our, one of our insiders out there to the east, obviously, at one time. But he worked for the feds here, and his family and the Bush family go quite deep, Mike. And our government had countless opportunities to assassinate the man, and we never did.
Nope.
That's right.
There's a love-hate relationship that goes on between the Arabic countries with their oil and the American government.
Right.
And let's face it, and I don't have all the actual numbers, but there is a good portion of politicians, be they in Washington or anywhere in the country, that are invested in oil. Unless, of course, you're on the left, which is, you know, oil is bad. You know, we have to go, everything has to go electric so that when the EMP comes, everybody's car dies and electrics die. But yeah, so you've got America playing both sides of the fence, so to speak, on both teams, and I can never figure it out. But I think the connection is oil. I really do. And there have been a lot of politicians. It's not just Arabs with oil. It's the stock market and things of that nature, where a lot of politicians, they get the inside word, invest heavily in it, make a lot of money, and that's illegal.
If you look back through time, Mike, you go back to right before 9/11, there was a lot of insider trading going on. So that's also a red flag. It's like a lot of people knew what was coming.
Oh, yeah. Like, I still get, I think it was you that I was talking with when we were discussing the guy who was the owner and or architect of the Twin Towers.
That's right.
In New York City. And how he took out like, $1 billion?
An insurance policy. He was on the phone that morning trying to get that money.
And bang.
And bang.
Bang, bang.
Yes, bang, bang, bang. So, Mike, this actually happened Sunday, the three American troops who were killed. But yes, it was a drone strike in northeast Jordan, by the way, near the Syrian border.
God. And then you've got Yemen, which is firing rockets and drones at American ships in that section of the Middle East. And again, we're doing nothing about it. God, this drives me crazy.
That's
right. It really does.
History
is repeating,
my friends.
And we're doing nothing about it. Yeah, you're right.
We are making the same mistakes we made yesteryear, I like to say.
And can I say, can I tell you why? I could just,
sure.
In my opinion, it is because of this weak establishment. You have a weak president. You have a country, or I should say an administration that is too weak to step up and say, hey, if you're going to fuck with America, we will rain holy hell down on you. But that's not happening. We have a weak establishment.
I agree with you. And, you know, Mike, I've always been pretty much anti-partisan, to be honest with you. I've always disliked every political party. Right. However, today it's a lot more different, though, I would say. The Democrats, the groups, I mean, well, not entirely.
You're right, though, about the Democrat Party. That's changed dramatically.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same party I remembered growing up.
No.
And just even a few years ago, I would say.
That's right. And in fact, if you had to ask me, I would say the Democrat Party began to change when Obama was president, because that's when he started pushing his agenda of how racist white people, dividing the country, how racist white people are, how black people are being oppressed by the police. Going on an apology tour saying, oh, we're sorry America bombed you, you know, 45, 50, 60, 70 years ago. So he began this division, which in my opinion is a Marxist agenda on how you bring down a country, get them to fight from within, take the country from within. The Democrats have had 100 years to do this.
I agree with you, but you also have to keep in mind that there was other people that allowed him and his administration to come into such power.
With Obama?
Yes, you're only allowed
to
have that kind of thing. And we kind of already know they have the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, pretty much backing Obama every step of the way. So you kind of need that sort of assistance. You just don't become big organically. Like in the entertainment world, Mike, you understand that concept with music and television. You're only allowed to get a certain way.
It's all politics.
There you go, Mike. 100%.
It's all politics.
Right.
Red tape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look what Obama did with the IRS. He went after the Tea Party, the Republican Tea Party, which was, you know, a group standing against the Democrats. And he sent the IRS after them, just like they did to Trump and other various people who they didn't like. But yet they never seemed to do it on their own. I mean, I guess they do eat their own, but for the most part, you never saw what was happening with other politicians on the right as you were, I'm sorry, with other politicians on the left as you were seeing with politicians on the right that were being attacked by the IRS, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, that's another thing. Using the IRS and other agencies to pretty much do your dirty work.
Yeah, bring
it
down.
Pretty shady, but yeah, politics has changed quite a bit. And actually, you know what? I take that back. Politics actually hasn't changed. It's just evolved and gone even nastier and dirtier than ever.
That's right. They found more loopholes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. And Mike, I beg to ask the question out loud here. When will things ever be or feel normal again, Mike? That's what I've been wondering. It's beyond me at this point.
That's a very, very good question, Michael. One that has crossed my mind multiple times. And as you know, being a supporter of Trump, I want to see this man back in the office. I sincerely feel that he is the only man that can bring us back. And I say this again, I repeat myself. I say this based on the fact that the man was not a politician before he stepped into the White House. He was and still is, a businessman. He was in there to upset the establishment and overturn the deep swamp, as they call it. And a deep swamp it is. There are politicians that are corrupt in our government, and I feel that he was the only man that came in with a chip on his shoulder and said, hey, you guys are corrupt, and I'm going to straighten this out if I get elected. He did, and it upset most of the people, because let's face it, there was a plan from Obama to Hillary. That was a plan and it didn't work out for them. So what are they trying to do now? They are trying to put this man away in jail because they know that if he gets elected again, there is going to be a price to pay. And I'm all for it. I'm sick and tired of the corruption on the left and the right. I'm sick of it. These people who make a career out of politics never worked a job in their life like we have. They don't know. They've lost their touch and reality with the people, and they're getting money. And I sincerely believe, personally, like President Corpse has been, he's got his hands in the pockets of China, possibly Russia.
Definitely the Ukraine.
And I believe the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And definitely the Ukraine. $160 billion to the Ukraine to save their border. But meanwhile.
But not ours, yeah.
Not ours. And now they're at war, not at war, but there's a lot of tension going down in Texas because Texas is standing up for itself. You know, we had 300,000 immigrants cross the border last month.
That many. That's a lot.
300,000. We are now reaching the point of 10 million illegal immigrants in this country.
And by the way, Mike, just remember the area that I drive through every now and then up in the mountains here, crossing like San Diego, going back up and down, seeing loads of, I would have to imagine, illegal immigrants, by the way, just being bussed around.
Oh, I'll bet.
There's a huge, they all line up and they're being escorted out in these huge vans and huge buses, all by border agents, by the way.
Not a good thing, Michael. Not a good thing.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know if they're being processed or being placed somewhere, but...
Well, they're not.
I don't know what's going on.
Being processed.
Probably not. Probably not.
I certainly don't think that the government has any qualms about placing all the... They're trying to put most of them in red states, okay? Republican states, because they want to turn them blue. So when they put them in the blue states, people bitch and complain. Oh, we can't take these. Oh, we need government help. Now it's going to ruin our city, but don't worry about the several million that Texas had to take.
Into anything further here in regards to that matter, I just wanted to quickly say, ever since the China dust hit American soil, Mike, this place hasn't been quite the same.
The China dust?
The China dust, COVID.
Oh, right, China virus.
That's right. Very much like 9/11 in actuality, Mike. I can easily sum this up and say that is basically the equivalent to an episode of The Twilight Zone. What happened with us with COVID?
Mm-hmm. I was just talking about this yesterday with somebody, and I was saying how whether it was leaked or intentional, The damage was done. Here's the fact, though. What I was saying was that this is what happens when man plays God.
That's right.
You fuck with a virus that you know is potential for a biological weapon, and it gets out, the whole world
is affected by it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible, man. But this is what happens when you play God.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that one.
It's frightening to know that the possibility of them ever doing something like this could actually happen. You know,
and it happened.
Right. But I mean, for the future, like if they really wanted to use it for a biological weapon, think about, do you remember when, who was that Japanese guy who set off the nerve gas in the subway years ago?
It was a Chinese guy who did that?
Was it Chinese? I thought maybe you're right. Maybe it was a Chinese guy in Japan. I can't remember. I think it was in Japan.
I vaguely remember that incident, yeah.
He was a cult leader who was thinking that there was the end of the world was coming, so they set off this nerve gas in a subway. I cannot remember if people died or like what happened, but I want to say it was close to 9/11 back in the early part of 2000. But you had situations like that. You had people mailing anthrax to government officials. I mean, oh, God, thank God I live where I live. Because
it was a new religious movement sort of thing, a cult.
I thought so, because they've got that elaborate subway system going on, and they set off a whole bunch of them went in there with these cans, those compressed cans, and just let it out.
It said five bags filled with a liquid nerve agent.
Oh, God, imagine.
Yeah, the toxin struck victims down in a matter of seconds, leaving them choking and vomiting. 13 people died, and at least 5,800 were injured.
What a world, man. What a world. Yikes.
Either way, that's never good. Yeah. Obviously. That is never a good thing. And as you were saying, will we see action in Texas against the federal government?
Yeah, they're talking about a civil war. Can you believe that?
Yeah, for those who don't know, there's yet another, yes, another crisis currently ensuing at our southern border. And of course, Governor Abbott not budging over the demands.
Rightfully so. And there are 30 other Republican state governors who are backing him. In fact, they're even sending down their Coast Guard military to help him, because what the White House was saying, that if they have to, they'll change the Coast Guard militants into federal agents, and then they'll work for the president. But this is a big deal, and I 100% wholeheartedly support Governor Abbott for this, because Texas and the Texans, who are civilians and legal citizens in Texas, are effing pissed off at this point. And it's exactly for the reason I just told you about. They want to turn these red states purple by letting all these illegal immigrants into the country. They're thinking that they're going to get them to vote Democrat. Now think about it, Michael. Even if out of 10 million of these, even if 5 million voted Democrat, that's still a huge percentage. And just the fact that they would let them vote is an insult to Americans. When Trump was in office, and there were certain states talking about sanctuary cities, Gavin Newsom stepped up and said, "Oh, we're gonna let people in. We don't care. We're gonna let them in." They did that. Who else did that? Another Democrat state did the same thing, and they defied Trump. They're like, "No, we're gonna let them in." Trump kept saying, "No, you can't let these illegal immigrants in." And California's governor, Gavin Newsom, was saying, "Oh, no, we're going to let them in. It's okay. We don't care."
Will America survive the current border war, Mike?
It's funny you bring that up. I just read a story, what was it, 2 days ago? The next war will be with Mexico, the Mexican cartel. That's what I read. I mean, I don't know if it would be a conventional war, but you know as well as I do that the cartel in Mexico is armed to the fucking teeth.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of ex-military folks there.
Yep. And the police and the military cannot combat them, which blows my mind. It really does. This goes to show you how weak Mexican and corrupt the Mexican government and military is. However, I heard that the next conflict in America will be at the southern border with the cartel.
Well, we'll find out what happened. You will definitely find out what happens there. And migrants can now simply go to an airport, by the way, Mike, and jump on a flight without any proper ID.
What the fuck is with that, man? You have to use you and I would have to use an ID.
That's right.
Okay. To buy
anything,
a license, to get into a club, to get into any government facility. If we were closer to the ages of 21, we'd have to buy liquor. Meanwhile, California, at least I know one state, California is giving out driver's license to illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
They're allowing them to vote when the time comes. That is a direct, conflict with American law. You are supposed to be prisoners can't even vote. How are illegal immigrants voting?
And it's not something I made up, by the way. You know, you could go to the airport and see that out here in California, by the way.
Yep. I know. I believe you 100%.
Yeah, it's pretty radical. I never thought I'd see that here.
Did you read about how they were, and I don't know how true this is or how true it's going to be, but did you hear them talking about wanting to make certain illegal immigrants that have crossed over into police?
No.
Give them a gun.
Where'd
a badge,
you read that?
Give them a uniform. I can't remember exactly, but I saw it a couple of different times online that they're a consideration. Again, I don't know how true it is. I don't know how accurate it is, if it's actually going to happen or
not.
Yeah,
that sounds a little far-fetched, Mike.
Oh, don't think anything's far-fetched, Michael. Look what we're talking about. Nothing is far-fetched anymore with this administration.
Yeah, not anymore, but
not this administration.
Yeah, so basically they're saying, here, have this uniform and you take over.
Yeah, get take over. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Well, that remains to be seen, but we'll surely find out, I'm sure.
Oh God, what a world. What a world.
Yeah, but you know, again, these issues have always existed, but today we're witnessing sort of like an evolution of things, like kind of like human trafficking, you know, that's always existed, yet now we're starting to see it magnified.
Yeah.
And that's always going to intensify everything under a magnifying glass. And thanks to the internet for making this place a better place, but also making it much worse, Mike.
Ugh.
Thanks to the internet. Okay. I mean, I think the internet ruined America and the world, for that matter.
I stand by.
Do you agree, disagree?
I stand by you on that comment. I do.
It's a scary thing, right?
It certainly is.
My. And of course, don't forget thousands of children went missing, Mike.
They did. About, with the kids. You're right.
Yeah,
right,
about 85,000 went missing.
Yep.
And these were all kids under the watch of the Border Patrol and other federal agents, by the way. And how quickly everyone forgot about that one.
And how many? 80,000?
85,000. And this was first reported back in April, by the way.
I mean, what the fuck, man?
Everyone, everyone quickly forgot. And, you know, they wanted the FBI, of all people, the FBI, to conduct an investigation. And,
yeah, they couldn't even find who the cop belonged to in the White House. Yeah.
Exactly. So they're incompetent. I mean, they don't really care, I would say. And they're probably the ones responsible for some of it. But I could give you an example of a lot of that. But you see, Mike, some of these people working in uniform also are responsible for human trafficking. There are also corporate-sponsored human and sex trafficking that also occurs. It's one of those things, Mike, that are so taboo and entirely batshit crazy. Most won't ever believe it. There's a case, actually. Long ago, there was a cult called the Finders.
The Finders.
The Finders cult.
Why do I know that name? I read about this recently.
You probably read about that, yeah. It was all part of the whole satanic panic sort of thing at the time.
Yes. Yes, I remember now. I read a book about by a guy named Gavin Badley called Satanic... all right, I know what you're talking about. The Finders, yes. That was a satanic cult that would abduct young kids.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember it now. Ken, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. I just was wondering if you had heard about it. But yeah, it was a cult, and they were like brainwashing people, well, kids primarily, at a warehouse. And, you know, they were caught. Two people were caught, by the way, in a van. With like six kids, by the way.
Wow.
You know, they were like in their 20s, and you would have to wonder, you know, what on earth are they doing with these six kids that aren't theirs?
And what happened?
Well, swept everything under the rug.
No shit.
Because it was some sort of an internal affair.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yes, it was a CIA internal matter, they said. That's what the police investigation of the Finders was ultimately dropped. Because, yeah, a CIA internal matter, they were saying.
The police said that?
That's right.
Police.
The police. So the CIA, of course, has maintained their innocence, of course, claiming no way were we ever involved.
But, of course not.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no, like, smoking gun per se. But, I mean, Mike, I don't think there's ever going to be a smoking gun per se to any of these people because they're all involved.
Right. Just like with the whole...
Like JFK.
Oh my God, that, and I mean, it finally came out now, but 60 years too late? More than that, actually, 40, no, 60 years, yeah. What the hell else was I going to just say? Look at when Trump was running, they were spying on him, they created the whole Russia collusion thing, Hillary Clinton bought the dossier from Russia, there was the situation with when they were what else were they doing to Trump? I can't remember off the top of my head, but ultimately, you've got these organizations that they have no rules for themselves per se, and if it's on an inside job, the upper elites are not gonna what are they gonna do? Put themselves in jail? Oh, yeah. I was bad. I'm gonna turn myself in. No,
they're not gonna jeopardize their ass.
Exactly. You know the old saying: who's watching the watchers?
Right. Case in point. And I'm glad you brought up those examples of corruption there, Mike. And our government has a track record of doing that. They always have. Mm-hmm. But people choose and pick what to believe and what not to. And you know, you listen to a lot of conservative radio. And at the time, you know, everybody was up in arms about going to war in Iraq after 9/11. And look how that turned out. You know, we were lied to.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's interesting that you bring this up right now. Today, earlier, I've been doing some house cleaning, winter house cleaning, and I'm going through a bunch of old photographs and stuff. And I came across the newspapers that I collected from 9/11, New York Post, The Village Voice, a couple other ones. I can't remember what they were. You know, front pages, you know, war declared kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I just saved them for nostalgic purposes. And there's one that says Bin Laden admits to attack. So it's just interesting that you bring all this up, you know, that we're talking about. I was just looking at these things today. Did you ever read the 9/11 commission? Is that what it's called? The 9/11 commission?
The commission report?
Yeah.
Well, it's I've read it, but I don't believe any of it.
I read a portion of it, like broken down, almost like a Cliff Notes style write-up in a special magazine release from, I think, Time years ago. And it was about maybe 60 pages long, maybe longer, a magazine, you know. But I read it, and the things I read were quite amazing. I was astonished. But do you know that when Trump was in office, if he had won another term, he was going to reopen the files on 9/11? Did you know that?
Who was?
Trump.
Well, see, that's the thing. I hear a lot of these promises, by the way. Just remember the people he chose to pardon as well, Mike. You know, he didn't want to pardon Edward Snowden or Julian Assange, you know, none of the whistleblower type people. He allowed rappers to be pardoned.
That's just wrong.
That's just, how are you going to defend that, Mike?
Rappers are not innocent.
Yeah, so defend that one, Mike.
Hey, look, man, I'll be the first to admit, I've told you 100 times, brother, not everything he said or did I was in agreeance with. I looked at it from a perspective of what is good for the country. I'll give you a perfect example.
Rappers aren't good for the country, by the way, just for the record.
No,
just for the
not.
Record. That was a bad choice.
Yeah, my thing was...
But no, I understand, Mike. I understand.
Like, if I may just give you an example. He had reopened the ability for hunters to shoot big game in Africa. Zebras, elephants, water buffaloes, lions, rhinos, giraffe. I'm against that 100%. This is not an animal that you use to butcher. These are animals that they gut and stuff. And I am 100% against game hunting. But he allowed that to be open again. And I was very, very disappointed about that. Nevertheless, and I say this all the time, when you vote for somebody, you're not going to get everything you want. You're just not.
Right.
That's why when these
That's
people,
kind of life, though, you know.
Exactly. That's why when these woke people bitch and moan and cry and scream and lay on the ground and have a tantrum about, oh, he tweeted this horrible thing about something and he called Mexicans all rapists and thieves and murderers. Oh, my God. You know, like, just get a grip. You know, get a grip. These people are they bring things to the next level. You're never going to get everything you want in somebody that you elect. Never.
Right. And a lot of people believe that sort of notion. You know, if you're not exactly all on board with a certain candidate, then, you know, then you're kind of deemed unworthy in their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like with me. You know, I'm certainly not left anymore.
There's different kind of voters is what essentially we are breaking things down to here. You know, there's different people that vote for different reasons and different issues.
Of course.
So it's much more complex than what we're making it out to be here. You know, we're trying to simplify it, but there's various different kind of voters out there and different people that belong to different groups and so forth and so forth. But I'm always someone on the outside looking in, Mike.
Yeah.
You have to in life at times, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, I was going to say before, like, you know, I'm neither left or right these days, but
right.
I see things in a perspective that I feel the left has gone absolutely bonker shit, and they're out of control. So I
yeah,
can't.
As a
that
former
way.
Democrat, you know more than anyone else.
Right. As I've told you, brother,
yeah.
I was there for 30 years.
Right.
30 plus years. I was a Democrat. PC liberal.
Very and, PC, yeah.
Yeah. I could never, ever support them now. Because I think they're absolutely batshit with this socialism and elimination of oil and I mean, don't get me wrong. If we can find a better fuel source, hey, bro, I'm all for it. But you can't tell me that in 10 years I got to be driving an electric car. You can't tell me that you're going to take my gas stove away. You can't tell me that you want to get rid of all cows because they fart too much, right?
Right. So, as long as we have drag queens dancing around and pulling aborted fetuses out of their bodies and swinging it around. Okay. I mean, that's okay, yeah.
That's all right.
What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Hey, what's the big deal?
Can you believe it?
I can believe it. I don't understand what's going on.
And that's another thing.
It's pretty
wild.
Another
thing, Michael. Even though I support more of the right than I do left, I'm still all for abortion.
That's
but
true.
I'm not for abortion after the third trimester. In fact, I'm not for abortion after you've had the fucking baby.
That's true.
You know, you want to get an abortion, in my opinion, get an abortion in the very first part of the pregnancy. That, in my opinion, and we've had this discussion before, in my opinion, that is when the fetus slash embryo is not at a point in time where it's functioning like a human being like we are. I think it's better to people are going to hate me for this. I think it's better to eliminate a fetus embryo through an abortion at a very early age because I don't think the mind is developed enough to remember anything.
Do you love abortions, Mike?
I do not love abortions. I feel sorry for kids that get aborted, but at the same time, look at where we are in the world. 8 billion people worldwide.
Have you performed an abortion?
Oh, just last night, dude.
There you go.
They taste great.
There you go.
I'm kidding, folks. I might be a Satanist,
not joking.
But I don't eat babies.
He's not eating any children, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing like that.
You always want to get me in trouble, don't you, you bastard?
I try. By the way, I'm not sure if you knew this, but, you know, Trent Reznor, before he was Trent Reznor, you know, he played in a band back in 1988 called Slam Bamboo. He was playing the keyboard. Didn't. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, there's a video of that.
Get the heck out of here.
Yeah, there is.
And was that in addition to him playing in Nine Inch Nails?
Well, I think this was pre-Nine Inch Nails, actually, with Slam Bamboo.
Okay, because I did see him. I saw Nine Inch Nails play at the very club that I played for the first time in my life in Newark, New Jersey, called The Pipeline. And there were like 10 people in the audience. And I actually walked out.
What year was that?
I think it was 88 or 89.
Well, this must have been 89, because in 88, he was still with Slam Bamboo playing keyboards, unless he started another band. But
you're probably right.
Mike, I wanted you to hear Slam Bamboo, by the way.
Let's do it.
It's about
bro.
2 minutes. I wanted you to hear Trent Reznor playing the keyboard and the kind of music you would not have suspected.
Okay.
Waking up to you.
You should watch the video, Mike. Pretty crazy. I don't know why the audio was only coming out one side there, but it must be this video.
I'm going to puke.
That was Trent Reznor there, Mike. And there is video to this, by the way. So you can actually see him hopping around on the keyboard, jamming out.
Yeah. Okay. Good for him.
Can you? I don't know what he was doing in there, but that's Slam Bamboo, Mike.
All right. Not interested.
Can you even imagine? And he stands out, by the way, because he's wearing all black at the time and everyone's wearing like a nice shiny suit, and he's just wearing like a black jacket, black pants, black everything.
Wow.
You're gonna have nightmares of this song now, Mike.
Yeah, that's not him singing, is it?
No. Good Lord, Mike.
Yeah, I was never really into Nine Inch Nails. I had their first album, and I just was not into it.
You actually walked out.
I saw them play for the first time in New Jersey at the very club that I started my career out when I played my first show, and it was called The Pipeline in
New Jersey. Okay.
Yes. And I, you know what, now that I think of it, it might have been 1990. In any event, now that I think about it, it was 1990 because I was still with my first band, my first lineup. But anyway, Nine Inch Nails was scheduled to play. It was a big deal. They were coming down from Chicago. And they set up, they had this great setup, really loud speakers. And they had, when you were at the Pipeline, if you were looking at the stage, to the left of it was an area that was open. They had all the amplifiers there and all the shit that goes along with the PA. And I'll tell you, this was like a $50,000 PA system. It was top notch. One of the best clubs we had played at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The guy who owned it really put a lot of money into the sound system in the worst fucking area in New York. So, I go to the show and Nine Inch Nails comes out and they do their thing. And I'm standing up front. Now, mind you, at that point in time, I'm trying to word properly. I'm the worst speaker. I tried to be as critical of other musicians. I shouldn't say I tried to be. I became more critical of other musicians, and I would watch them and make sure I knew, you know, is he playing that note right? Is he making a mistake? Is the drummer doing this? Is the singer doing this? And I used to watch them like just meticulously. And I noticed during that show, the musicians were not playing their instruments. And if I had to say so on a bet, I'd almost want to say Trent wasn't singing.
Oh,
he was lip syncing.
Are you serious?
Well, I cannot prove it.
You know, I'm glad you. I'm strangely glad that you brought this subject up. I was going to ask you about something in regards to this, but continue.
Long story short, I basically watched the guitar player.
Yeah.
And they had one of those electronic drum kits, those V kits.
Right.
So you can play that without it actually giving a signal to the sound system. So he could have been faking it too, but playing along.
Like it's on a loop, yeah.
Right. Well, if you got the headphones on and you're either playing to a click track or a DAT machine, you could play, provided you're a good enough drummer, you can play to what's being played on the amplifiers, on the PA. But when I watched Trent sing and when I watched the guitar player play his guitar, I sincerely felt they were not playing the real thing.
Damn.
Yeah. I walked out. I was like, this is bullshit. That I'm not paying $20 for this shit. I turned around and walked out.
Wow.
And as I said, there were about between 10 and 20 people in the audience. And I was right up front. In fact, I saw a video one time of them. It might even be online.
Right.
And you can see me standing right up front with my hat on.
Oh, shit. Okay. There's video of you out there.
I think so. If it's still online.
Love that.
If it's still online. And I walked out. I was like, this is a ripoff.
You said, no way, Jose.
I said, no way, Trent Jose.
Trent Jose, you Hispanic.
Jose Reznor.
Yeah, Jose Reznor. Actually, I ran into a relative of his a couple of months ago, this woman.
Cousin Reznor?
Let's just say she looked like a Trent in a wig.
Oh. Okay.
It looked really weird.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to be polite here. I'm not going to be mean or anything. This was a very nice person, but all I could think about was, wow, you look like a Trent in a wig.
Ooh.
This is a little weird.
Wow.
Yeah. But moving along here, I was going to quickly ask you, Mike, you know, in regards to that, there were, I think it might have been in some music website, some article. And they were talking about the band Motley Crue and how they played with a backing track
Some of them. I heard about this recently. Yeah,
I was going to quickly ask you, though, how do you feel about that as a musician? Because, you know, some people, they need that backing track in case there's a missing element there, like a missing keyboard player, piano player, stringed instruments.
That's right.
A symphony. So what exactly do you make of musicians who do that? Do you think they're ripping off the audience to some degree?
That's a very good question. You know, when I was doing, you know, especially when I first started getting into performing and writing and playing music, I had a real hard time with anything that wasn't played live. Like, Now, for example, when I did recordings of my music, I always put in like maybe some keyboards or maybe some loop samples of, you know, I don't know, maybe a person saying something or, I don't know, chimes, mostly keyboards. I used to always put in extra keyboards. Point is,
very when goth we played of you. It,
yeah, I know, right?
Very goth of you, Mike.
So anyway, long story short, I when we would play them live, obviously those parts weren't played, or they were played with guitar. Since I had two guitar players, I'd have one play the lead and one play the rhythm, two different rhythms or something. So I became very critical of people who were adding music. Like I knew a band. This band called Sunshine Blind, who I love them. They're great people. I knew, in fact, Charlie played in Empire Hideous as a fill-in guitarist a couple of times. But his band, Sunshine Blind, they only had, eventually it was just two guitars, and I think that's it. They might have a bass player, but they got rid of a drummer. So their drummer was a drum machine. And eventually when they got rid of the bass player, the bass was also programmed. And then any other keyboards or backing. So I really didn't like that. No offense to the band. I love the people. I couldn't do it. And I had all bands back then because I was having so many troubles with, or I should say problems with losing drummers. So I'd have musicians from other bands that I knew tell me, why don't you just go with a drum machine? I couldn't do it. I need the live intensity of analog drums.
I hear you.
To make me feel the intensity and the passion that I get when I play a live show.
So in other words, you wouldn't do a set with like a drummer that's using an electronic drum set.
Well, I have.
Or you have. How did that work out though?
I didn't like it because there's nothing like an acoustic drum set. Nothing. You cannot compare it. It's electronic is everything's controlled.
Right. Yeah.
The only thing controlled on a drum is the tuning and the reverberation that it creates once it's
so
hit.
Yeah. So I would imagine it's not the same as it would be if you're in a small stage or anywhere really, and you're not really feeling the drums as you would if it was a real drum set. And I played on stage and I played, you know, with a real band. So I know exactly what that's like to actually have the drummer right there.
Yeah, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah,
I could never do it that way. And as far as having other samples in, like keyboards or strings or horns, I think, in my personal opinion, I think it's good to have, like, if you're going to do a show like that, it should be indicated. Listen, tonight, maybe in a brochure, in a pamphlet, I don't know, a playbill which says, even though the band is performing live, they are using some background samples or loops so that they can add to their show. Now, you know who was a person who was really against that?
Who?
Gene Simmons and Kiss.
I had a feeling you were going to say Kiss.
Kiss. And when they did their tour, oh my God, it had to be like 15 years ago. They were talking about going on tour again, a world tour that was going to take like a year to do. And he was talking about, Gene was saying, you know, we don't do any sort of samples or not, you know, everything's live. We play live. But then on this last final tour that Kiss just did, their farewell tour, it was proclaimed that they were using backup vocals for Paul Stanley because he can't hit the notes anymore. I think he's in his 70s at this point.
I don't like that kind of talk.
I don't like that kind of music.
Oh, I love that.
So that was a big like slap in the face because, you know, just a decade ago, Gene Simmons was saying, we don't do that. And now here they are doing it. And now you're saying Motley Crue did the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah. And how do you feel about it?
Well, I don't know. I feel like it's a unnecessary evil at times.
Yeah.
And a necessary evil at times. So I'm on the fence is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you're not going to have all these stringed instruments and you're not going to have these sort of elements. But if you have the main ones, I think you're all right. But if you want to give someone, you know, because most people, Mike, and you know this quite well, the casuals out there, those that aren't exactly into music, but, you know, they're into music, but they're not really into music. You know, they're not performing. They're not actually writing music or actually taking the time to learn an instrument.